Well, want to say thanks. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we arrived here last year on April the 28th in Hong Kong. So, chabdo, this Sunday is about my one year anniversary here. And interestingly enough, you probably don't remember. I would be very surprised if you did. But when I came here, my first sermon was from 1 Peter chapter 5. And today, again, just a coincidence, we're also going to be looking at we haven't gone all the way through the Bible and back around, but we're going to be looking in 1 Peter chapter 5 again today. And I just want to say thank you from my heart on behalf of my family. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. I have been absolutely amazed at your generosity and your love and care for me and my family, and just want to say thank you from our family to you. Some of you have asked about church membership. We've talked about church membership, and actually there are some forms, some pieces of paper on the back table for you to fill out if you want to be a member of this church and talk to me or one of our deacons. Those forms are on the back table. But some of you have asked about being a church member. And since we just finished a long series about the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross, usually what I like to do after a series of messages is come back with one or two messages. And we've done like, what is baptism? What is the Lord's Supper? What is a deacon? These kinds of things. And so today, I want to talk about church membership, just to give some instruction from the Bible on why we have some kind of church membership. And I want to really be clear this morning. I hope that I'll be clear. Let's pray and ask God's help. Heavenly Father, I'm asking now that you would give me clarity, give me the right words and the right spirit in which to speak, that the church might be built up. Open our eyes that we might see the truth in your word, and that your word might be sweeter than the honeycomb to us and more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. So guide us in your truth and teach us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Is church membership in the Bible? Is there a place in the Bible where you can look that where it says, thou shalt be a church member, meaning of a local church? Do we find an exact description on how you should be a church member in those terms? Not really. But belonging to a church is in the Bible. Belonging to the universal church worldwide, us in this room, we don't have, how many nations do we have in this room? And we're all part of the church. But today, when I'm talking about the church, I want to talk to you about the local church, being a member of a local church. The church is not a club we join. It's not like joining the jockey club. It's not like joining the tennis club or joining the Toastmasters International or something like that. The church is something different. We are a family with a father. We are a kingdom. We're kingdom people with a king. And we're a body. The Bible says we're a body and we have a head who is Christ. So the Bible uses many pictures to talk about us as the church, both universally and locally. So there are many places I could do a series of messages on church membership, but today I just want to talk to you about church membership from 1 Peter chapter 5. I just want to look at that text and talk about what it means to be a member of the church from the perspective of a church leader or from church leadership. And as we look at church leadership, we will inevitably see something about church membership in the Bible. So if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Actually, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 first. 1 Peter chapter 1. Because I want to give you some context. In order to understand 1 Peter chapter 5, we have to understand who he's writing to and why is he writing the book, right? If we don't know that, then it may not make any sense to us. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion. Okay, so people scattered around in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So Peter is writing to this large area. If you look at that area on a map, it's almost all of Turkey today. The country of Turkey was Turgia, right? So Turkey. And it's a big area. And he's not writing to one church. He's not, all of these people are not part of one church. Instead, they are dispersed and scattered throughout this area. So the people who live in this area and go to these churches are going to read this letter. He's going to scatter. They're going to take that letter and they're going to send it around to all of those churches. Okay, it's a circuit letter. Actually, Silas is probably going to go around and Silas is going to take that letter and they're going to read it to the churches. And these people are going through persecution, and he wants to encourage them in their lives. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, if you'll turn in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's going to talk to the leaders of these churches. This is not one church, and they're not all members of the same church, but there are many churches and many leaders of the churches. They're called elders in 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders are the leaders, and they have been given the task. And he's going to teach us something about church membership. So look in 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice carefully what he says. I, Peter, exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So what does he say to them? He's talking to the leaders of this church. Elders, if you've ever heard the term Presbyterian, it's where we get the word Presbyterian. This word is presbyteros. It means old people or the old men in the church. But it doesn't just mean old people. In the New Testament, it is an office. It is a group of leaders who are to do a specific task in the church. It's the same, it's going to be used at the same time to mean the same thing as elder, as overseer, as pastor. We'll see that in just a bit. So Peter says this, interestingly, Peter says that he's a fellow elder, but he's not an elder of the same church. He's a fellow elder somewhere else. So he's not saying, I, Peter, am the elder, and I'm going to tell you what to do. But he's saying, hey, look, I'm just like you guys at another church, but But I want to give you some instruction and some guidance in these other churches. Peter was probably an elder at the church in Jerusalem, but he is an apostle, so he was an eyewitness. He did walk with the Lord, so he has some authority and some instruction to give them. So what I want you to see, what you should see, is that each of these churches have their own leaders. Each of these churches have their own leaders. It's not Peter and the church in Jerusalem that is leading over all of these churches, but he's writing to the leaders of all of these churches. What does he say their job is? What is their job? Very specific, gives us three basic tasks. Now, 1 Timothy will give us some more, but three basic tasks of an elder. Number one, he says that they are to, notice it says shepherd the flock. The word shepherd there is the word pastor. So he says elders should pastor. Literally, it says shepherd the sheep. But that's kind of redundant in English. We don't say shepherd the sheep, right? We don't say drink the drink. So he says shepherd the flock of God. They are to pastor the church that is among them. Notice they're not to shepherd the sheep of someone else's church, but they are to shepherd their own church. Elders are to pastor. Secondly, notice what he says, is he says that the elders are to exercise oversight. If you look on the screen, it says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. You ever heard of the term overseer? What is an overseer? Episkopos, which means to look over. We get the English word scope, to look through a scope. Okay, it means to look into or to look over. So the job of the elders is to shepherd, and the job of the elders is to oversee. They're not to oversee someone else's church, but they are to oversee their own church. He says, the one that is among you. And then lastly, he gives a third task, and that third task, he says, is to be an example to the flock, to be an example. Shepherd the flock of God, elders, that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples. Being examples. So that's three basic tasks, responsibilities of an elder. An elder is to shepherd, an elder is to oversee, and an elder is to be an example. And all of these they are to do not under compulsion, but willingly. Not to feel like, oh, I've got to do this. I've got to go do all this stuff for these people. But they should be doing it willingly, joyfully. And then he says, not for shameful gain. It's not to be for money. Pastors should not be, or elders should not be working to make a paycheck, but should be doing it eagerly. And not to be doing it domineering. Not saying, look, this is my authority, I'm supposed to be doing this, and you guys need to listen to me. Not that way. But to be an example to the church. So that's a pretty basic understanding of what it means to be an elder. But I want you to see three things. I want you to see three phrases that are going to teach us something about church membership here. Relating to church membership. Notice number one that it says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Not to shepherd someone else's flock. So the church in Galatia, the elders in Galatia are not supposed to be shepherding the church in Pontus. And the church in Pontus is not supposed to be shepherding the people in Cappadocia. The church, the elders at a church in Beijing are not supposed to be shepherding people that are in Shanghai. Maybe shepherd the shepherds, but not the people in the church. Let me ask you a question. As your pastor, who am I responsible for? Who am I responsible to shepherd? Am I supposed to shepherd Island ECC? Am I supposed to be shepherding the people who are members of the Vine Church? You would say no, right? I mean, how could I possibly? No, my responsibility is to who? CBIBC, right? That's my responsibility. So, shepherd the flock of God. The key phrase is among you. So, all of you leaders scattered around all of these churches, you guys, wherever you are, whoever's among you, shepherd those people. I'm not supposed to be shepherding the people from Yan Phuc Church or Resurrection down the road. I'm responsible for this church to pastor and lead beside still waters and lead you to fountains of living water to drink from and feed you sheep from the Word of God. I'm not supposed to be feeding someone else's sheep. Who could do that? That would be exhausting to think about that. Number two, notice he says, exercise oversight. Exercise oversight of those who are in your charge. Exercise oversight of those who are in your charge. It's a scary word. The word actually means that you're responsible for people. It actually means the word heritage or inheritance, like a gift given to these elders. Who am I to oversee? Who are the elders of any church to oversee and to look over and to take care of, to pastor? It's the people who are among them. It's the people who are in their charge. Am I to oversee? Am I to be looking into the lives of and oversee and say, as Sha Tin Baptist over in Sha Tin, am I supposed to be saying, hey, you go to Sha Tin Baptist? How you doing, man? How's your walk with the Lord? Am I supposed to be doing that? It's not necessarily bad to do, but it's not really my responsibility. It's their overseers, their elders, their shepherds. Look at Acts 20:28. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul has met with the elders of the church in Ephesus. And he's talking to them and he says, I'm not going to see you again. But listen what he says to them. He says to these, specifically the elders of the church in Ephesus, he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all of the flock. In which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So, elders, flock, overseers. Elders, flock, overseers. That's why elders and pastors and overseers is the synonymous term. What are they supposed to do? He says, pay attention. To what? To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Who are the elders in Ephesus to care for? The church in Ephesus. So Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, bought you with his own blood. You're his. He's the chief shepherd. But pastors and elders are under shepherds. Put here, by the Holy Spirit, to pay careful attention to all of the flock and to care for the church. A huge responsibility that no one should ever rush into and say, you know what, I'm going to be a pastor. You know what, I want to be an elder, I want to be an overseer, let's do this. Big responsibility. Am I, as the pastor of CBIBC, am I to pay attention to every believer in Hong Kong? Am I to make sure or to shepherd every born-again Christian in Sai Kung? No, I'm supposed to be taking care of CBIBC. So each local church has elders who are to shepherd their own sheep. But here's the question. It's impossible for leaders to do their job unless they know who their sheep are. Right? How can you shepherd the flock of God? How can you oversee the flock that is among you? How can you care for the church? How can you pay careful attention unless you know who the sheep are? That's why we have church membership. It's so that we have people who are committed to one another under the care of the church. Under the care of the church. Mind you, not to be domineering, having this heavy-handed authority over the church. Now, lastly, I want to show you one more. Maybe I left it off. All right, you got a Bible, right? I hope you got a Bible, right? So let's look. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 4 and 5, okay? You got a Bible? I left it off the screen. So verses 4 and 5, this is the last point. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive, talking to the elders, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Then he says, likewise. Now, on the same subject, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So the last thing, very interesting, the third phrase, the first phrase I wanted you to see that deals with church membership is among you. Elders, take care of the people among you. The second one was those in your charge, among you, in your charge. And now the last one is this phrase, be subject to the elders. That's the word submit. Same phrase that's used as wives submit to your husband, your husbands. Same phrase. He says, younger, those of you who are younger, be subject to the elders. It doesn't only mean younger people. It probably means those younger people in the church, because the older people already knew better that they should submit to authority or some kind of authority. It could possibly mean younger believers. Younger believers, let's remind these young new believers that they are to be under the leadership of the church. But it doesn't really matter which he means. He's saying that, I want you to see, that in some way he's saying that members of the church are to be under or subject to the elders and the leaders of the church. That's impossible to do unless you know who's in the church and who's not in the church. It's a constant theme throughout the Bible, is knowing who is in and who is out. Who are the insiders? Who are the outsiders? There's a level of commitment in the church where we belong to the church. And leaders cannot know unless we have some kind of membership. Now, just so you don't think, let me just say this. Just in case some of you are thinking I'm trying to give some kind of hidden message and say, you know, I'm a big guy and I want you to be submissive and understand I have authority and you need to listen to me. That's not what I'm saying. I just want you to see the difference. I want you to see the difference between a church and a campus ministry. What's the difference between a church and a campus ministry? A campus ministry prays together. A campus ministry reads the Bible together. A campus ministry will sing together. Sometimes they'll give their money to help each other. It's what a campus ministry will do. But the difference about a church is a church has leadership that people say, I'm in your care. Help me grow. Help me mature. And we walk alongside each other at a much deeper level than a campus ministry does. The church is different. Members of a kingdom. Look at Hebrews 13, just so you know I'm not making this up. Now, I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. Obey your leaders, it says, and submit to them. There's that word again. I don't like that word any more than you do. We don't like that word in today's culture. I wanted to change it to the word belong. But God reminded me that that's what the Bible says. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they are keeping watch, overseers. They're keeping watch over your souls. Anybody want that responsibility? Anybody want the responsibility of keeping watch over someone's soul? As those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Brothers and sisters, the responsibility of pastors and elders and overseers of a local church is to keep watch over your soul. And we will give an account before God. And so that means that we have to know who is in our church and who is not in our church. Who is a part of the flock that I must care for? That's why we have church membership. That's one of the reasons, okay? So it's not the only reason. But from a leader's perspective, church membership. Jonathan Lehman, in his book, Church Membership, says, Christ does not call us to join a church, but submit to a church. Church is not simply another volunteer society like the Boy Scouts or the Sierra Club. It's an embassy of Christ's kingdom. An embassy. Do you see this church as an embassy of the kingdom of light? It's not just where we come and get together and do things. We check in and check out. We can belong or not belong. We're citizens of a kingdom. And this CBIBC is an embassy of the kingdom of light. Citizens of a future kingdom. Well, let me ask you a couple questions before we take the Lord's Supper. If you will tarry with us just about 15 more minutes, we're going to take the Lord's Supper, okay? Let me ask you a couple questions. Very simple questions, but I want you to think about this church, okay? Let me ask you some questions. Who is responsible for you? Who is responsible for your soul? What leaders of a church are responsible? What elders, what overseers, what pastors are responsible for your soul? Is it this church? Could be, can be, or is it somewhere else? If you're a member of a church somewhere else, those people are responsible for your soul. Whether you meant it that way or not, those people really are responsible for you before God. Whose leadership are you under? Whose leadership have you said? That's not the, Not that any leadership is worthy, but whose leadership have you said, I will be under the shepherding care of this church? I want to lovingly, and humbly say, you can't be under the care and watchful eye and love and oversight of a church that's 3,000 miles away or 20 miles away. It needs to be a church that's nearby. And thus saith I, not the Lord, okay? Thus saith I, not the Lord. I don't speak for the Lord except for His word. But I will say this. You need to be part of a church that's close enough to your home that you can invite your neighbors to. You ought to be a member of a church that's close enough to where you live, whether you can drive there or take the MTR, but relatively near enough that you can take your friends and your neighbors and coworkers, people from the market you can invite to. I would wholeheartedly, if you live on Chungzhou or any far, far away place from this church, even though we don't want to lose members and we don't want to shrink, but it's biblical for you to be part of a church close by your home, I think, so that you can share, you can take your neighbors to close by. That's not a mandate of Scripture. That's just my wisdom for you today. Don't be a name on a roll somewhere, people. Don't just be a name on someone's roll at some other church. Belong wholeheartedly, 100% to God's local church. Give your life to it. Give your life for it. Because you need the church. You need the church to help you grow in maturity and in faith and love and perseverance. If this is the church for you, wonderful. Talk to me, email me, fill out a form. We'd love to talk to you. If it's somewhere else, God bless you. God bless you. We're about kingdom. We want to build the kingdom. We don't want to just build our local church. We want to empower you to build the kingdom wherever that is. Let's pray together and we'll take the Lord's Supper, okay? If the deacons would already go ahead and come forward, we'll pray, and then we will partake of the Lord's Supper together. Heavenly Father, cover by your grace any words that I said that might be offensive to my brothers and sisters, because my task this morning is to build up the church. My task this morning is to be a healing balm and an encouragement and an exhortation and an upbuilding, not to tear anybody down. So Holy Spirit, cover my tracks and let anything that has been beneficial, that's been of you, to remain in people's hearts, souls, and minds. But anything that I've said that's been useless, let it fall by the wayside. Lord, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, would you help us to see Christ and see the gospel as we act it out now, in Jesus' name. Amen.